about the holiday of Purim, which is coming this coming week, from the perspective of Chassidus as represented by Shem Shmuel. Ashir is dedicated to the memory of Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi, and we were discussing a certain aspect of Purim, which is very important, and that is, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his infinite wisdom, decide to bring about the redemption, the salvation of the Jewish people on Purim through the efforts of two people, Mordechai and Esther? In his infinite wisdom and control of human events, he could have had one redeemer. Many of the stories in the Tanakh, in the Bible, involve one person, whether it's Abraham, or Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. Yes, Moshe and Aaron is a duet. David HaMelech is a single figure. Why in this particular story of Purim was it necessary that God decide to use two people, Mordechai and Esther? It's a long discussion until he finally comes to the answer, so have some patience, we will get there. We know that the confrontation between Mordechai and Esther on the one hand, and Haman on the other side, and the Jewish people versus Haman's followers, was the confrontation of the Jewish people with Amalek. Amalek is the arch enemy of Hashem and of the Torah. Amalek is a phenomenon. It's not a coincidental or superficial battle, but a very fundamental battle. Amalek is against the concept of Hashem. Amalek is not just an enemy of the Jews on a national level, but on a fundamental religious level. The Amalek antagonist of Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, denies the foundation of the Jewish people as the people of Hashem, the people of God Almighty. Amalek denies the selection of Israel. Amalek is more than that. Amalek wants to destroy Israel as a spiritual entity. And as our sages point out, the destruction of the Jewish people as a spiritual being, as a spiritual entity, as the people of the Torah, is in effect an attack on God Himself. The existence of the Jewish people in this world is a testimony to the existence of God. It's more than a testimony. It's a necessity for the existence of God in this world. Our sages say, Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, Bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim Vesa Oretz. Because of Israel, because of the concept of Israel, because of the existence of Israel, the nation of Israel, God created the world. In other words, God created the world in order for people to recognize His existence. This is a paradoxical notion. Obviously, God exists without people recognizing Him. God does not need our recognition. And in a mysterious decision, which we have problems completely understanding, God decided to create a world and to put people in this world. But Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis Bar Elokim as a Shemayim Vesaretz. God created the world and put people in this world and put a Jewish people among the people of the world, because the Jewish people would be the people which would carry his name. It would be Am Hashem, the people of God. They would be the vehicle to bring God's message, the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, and the whole Torah into this world, and to make humanity function at the level which God intended for people and humanity to function, in the moral and ethical and spiritual levels of the Torah. Without this, then God has no purpose in the world. As our sages say, that God may v'ayom hashishi, hashishi, God finished the world on the sixth day, and the letter hey in that statement, and on the sixth day, means the sixth day of Sivan. God said that if the Jews accept the Torah and bring my message to the world, and enable the world, enable humanity to achieve the level which God intends for humanity, then that world will exist. Otherwise, the world will go back to tohu vavohu. The world will disintegrate. Just as a small illustration of this concept, if God forbid, we shouldn't even utter the thought, but for our education, we have to. If the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, had succeeded in their plan to wipe the world out of all Jews, do just think what kind of a society would have followed. A world, a human world, run by Nazi ideology, where might makes right, where the rule of the jungle would govern human affairs, with morality and the ethics of Torah considered to be weakness and baby kind of living and foolishness, and the only thing which counts is the law of the jungle. The world would have destroyed itself. It would be a matter of time before wars and nuclear bombs, which existed at the end of World War II, would have wiped out all of humanity. Only the Torah and these lessons of Va'ahavta le'rayach kamoch, of loving one another, of giving up the drive for power, because we know the great ultimate power of Hashem, of God, and therefore we as people, whether in our individual lives or our national lives, have to be mevatrim, have to be people who give up and retreat and lose power, because of the great, awesome power of Hashem. Only then can people live together. But if it's a law of the jungle, we'll ultimately self-destruct. Humanity will self-destruct. Hashem, Yisbarach, the Almighty, needed the Jewish people, needed some vehicle to bring his message of morality and of goodness and of Torah into the world. And this is the purpose of the Jewish people. Now, Amalek, the Nazis, that ideology is diametrically opposed to this. They consider Torah morality and ethics weakness. They consider it immoral. For them, might makes right. For them, the world is the world of the jungle, and the survival of the fittest. And they will destroy the weak, because they think the weak are subhuman. Humanity is just the strongest animal in the jungle. Little do they know that Amalek and this philosophy is so destructive to themselves and to the whole world, as the Nazis illustrated so graphically in the short time that they had power. And unfortunately, the extreme religious terrorist fanatics are showing to the world today. So the Amalek ideology is a direct attack on Torah and Hashem. It is not just a national struggle between nations over land. It goes to the heart and soul of the Jewish people's purpose as a nation. To be Am Hashem, to be the people of Hashem, and to bring Hashem's message to humanity. And the fight of Amalek against the Jew is a fight against Hashem. And the Nazis mince no words. Hitler said it in the Mein Kampf, and his followers said it many, many times, that they are fighting the Jewish God, and fighting the Jewish Bible, and fighting the Torah. And that's why they were an Amalek type ideology. And according to various Jewish authorities, the Nazi peoples, the Nazi stormtroops, were really an Amalek. Now, my dear friends, Shemesh Shmuel points out that this Amalek ideology, as we so graphically have illustrated just now with the Nazi Germans, in early times of the Tanakh, was also adopted by certain other Jewish enemies. For example, Balak and Bilam. Balak, the king of Moab, and Bilam, the prophet of the Gentile nations, who together forged an alliance to destroy Israel, as we read about in Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Balak. And the Zohar says that if you look at the letters Balak and Bilam, Balak is spelled Beis Lamed Kuf, and Bilam is Beis Lamed Ayin Mem. If you take the last two letters of Bilam, it's Ayin Mem. And the last two letters of Balak is Lamed Kuf. Ayin Mem. Lamed Kuf spells Amalek. Balak and Bilam were not Amalekites. They did not come from that nation. But the letters of their name, which according to Hasidus and Kabbalah, represents the essence of who they were. When you put the Balak and Bilam together, they produce an Amalek ideology. An Amalek ideology is an ideology which is against God. It does not accept God as being any factor in human affairs. Man himself determines what is right and wrong. And anybody who says that God determines that is an enemy. He must be destroyed. And the Zohar says that Balak and Bilam specifically knew their names have the Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. And they were very proud of having this ideology, just like the Nazis were proud of their beliefs. And as we see today, the various terrorist groups who want to destroy Chas V'Shalom Israel and the Torah of Israel are also proud of their beliefs. And my dear friends, Amalek, as we have explained, is not just a fight about land. The Amalek nation doesn't want the Jewish people to take the land of Israel, even though they don't live in Israel, but it still bothered them. As we see today, various nations who are far away from Israel are disturbed by the fact that the Jews happen to live in Israel, want to stay in Israel. That's a certain level of confrontation which we call normal fights between nations. Amalek is a much deeper, much more profound, to use a word which maybe not all of us know, existential. It's an existential fight. It's a fight of existence. At the core of our existence, we have a confrontation with Amalek. Our message, the message of Am Yisrael, the Am Hashem, the people of Hashem, and the message of Amalek, the message of the people and groups which have Amalek ideology, is diametrically opposed at the most fundamental plane of confrontation. My dear friends, Shem Shmuel explains that we know, according to Hasidus, that the human soul, the human life and existence, express itself in three levels: Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. In thought, in speech, and in action. Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. And we know the human soul, according to Hasidus, has three levels. The level of Nefesh, which is the fundamental biological, which represents action. And Ruach, emotions, which represent speech. And Neshama, the highest level of the soul, which represents thought. Action, speech and thought. Thought, speech, action, Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, are the three levels of the soul. And we know also from Hasidus that there are three organs in the human body which represent these three energies of thinking, of speaking, and of doing. Thought is in the brain. Talk is in the heart. The emotions come out in one's speech. And action is in the liver, which is the source of the cleanliness of the blood, and the blood gives the life force for people to do things. The brain, the heart, and the liver. These are the centers of Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. Thought, speech, and action. And my dear friends, we know that the two great leaders of Israel, Yetzias Mitzrayim, who took us out of Egypt, were Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe and Aaron had the three levels of great leadership of the Jews in the level of Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. Thought, speech, and action. Moshe, of course, represents Machshava. The one who heard God, who was face to face with God, so to speak, in heaven, and brought and learned directly from Hashem the words of Torah, and brought the Torah down to Am Yisrael from the mountain of Sinai. Moshe was the epitome of Machshava, of thought, of ideology, of a system of values, which is called Torah. He represents the Machshava, the holy thought of Israel, and the holy thought of Torah. And Aaron HaKohen was Moshe's interpreter in Mitzrayim. He spoke, he was his spokesman. And as Moshe taught Torah to Jews, and Moshe spoke, had the Koach of Dibur, of speech, and taught the Torah, Aaron was his main interpreter, as Rashi explains in Chumash, that Moshe would teach it, and then Aaron would repeat the lesson to the people of Israel. Aaron was also the great Meturgeman, the great expounder of Torah in the desert. So Moshe has Koach HaMachshava, he is the thinker of Israel, and the Koach of Dibur, the power of speech. Aaron is the Koach of Dibur, the power of speech, but Aaron is also the Koach, the power of Maisa, of action. Aaron HaKohen was a man of action. He led the service in the Mishkan, the daily service. He was involved with the people. He was running around making shalom. He was an Oev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. He was dealing with social issues as a Kohen and Rabbi, a spiritual leader have to, between man and wife and between person and neighbor. Aaron brought the Koach of Dibur, of speech, into mice, into action. You know, a lot of people can talk. They speak nicely. But when it comes to action, they're not there. Aaron had the Koach, the ability to combine Dibur with Maisa. Good, sweet, inspiring talk with real, down-to-earth action. So Moshe and Aaron together, a Machshava, dibur and maisa of kedusha, the thought, the speech, and actions of holiness. My dear friends, Amalek opposes this force, Balak and Bilam, in machshava, and in dibur, and in maisa. Bilam, of course, was the machshava. He had the ideology of evil. He was the one who gave the idea to Paro to make the Jewish people slaves and to kill them. It was his ideology, the ideology of Amalek. And Bilam had the koach of dibur. He could speak very well. He could speak what sounded like holy words. He would speak words in the name of God himself and twist those words to represent his evil ideology. The people had that power. The Nazis spoke very nicely. They had ministers of propaganda. The Hitler, Yimach Shmo, was a fantastic public speaker. He mesmerized the whole German people, who was an intelligent nation. And previous to this had been a somewhat of a moral nation with their philosophers. But because of the power of his speech, he twisted. And his twisted ideology, he was able to take an otherwise cultured and advanced and civilized people and turn them into a barbarian and savage state. The power of dibur, power of speech, to use nice, beautiful words to convince people of false, dangerous, inimical, wicked ideas. Very, very old problem which the human beings and people have up to today. Many of the most wicked people who've led humanity down the wrong path have been wonderful speakers. It's a pleasure to listen to them speak, their passion, their charisma. People like Hitler, Yimach Shmo, and other terrible people were wonderful speakers, terrible ideas. The koach of Amalek has machshav and dibur, and of course maisa. We know their actions. Bloody, terrible actions. And the Jewish people, when it confronts Amalek, has to confront Amalek on every single level. If we go into battle against Amalek, just on the battlefield of Maisa, of action, without our own holy Dvarim, words of Torah, without our own holy Machshava, our holy ideology, value system, we're not strong. We're not battling the Amalek ideology on our ideological, with our own Torah ideology, with our own Torah words. Very sorry. We do not really have a chance. Because Amalek is attacking us on all our levels. On the Machshava Dibra as well as the Maisa. And we have to be strong and even stronger than them. In Machshava Dibra Maisa. When the Nazi attacks us ideologically, we have to be very strong in our Torah ideology and our faith in Hashem. We cannot be weak. We cannot vacillate and have sveikot and have doubts about our fundamental commitments because of this Amalek attack. Because then we are lost. I think I mentioned this before because I myself am a child of Holocaust survivors. And after the Holocaust, my parents and people of that generation, if they wanted, they could have said, my machshava, my Jewish ideology is shattered. Maybe I'll go through the routines of Maisa. I'll keep up the tefillin and keep the Shabbos and kosher. But meanwhile, my fundamental beliefs and commitment are gone, chas v'shalom, because of what happened in the Holocaust. Or in the recent attack in Merkaz HaRav, which eight sweet young yeshiva boys were cruelly murdered in cold blood in a yeshiva over the open Gemara, over the open Torah books. And we will let the Amalek attacks attack us on the ideological level as much as on the physical level. Even if we can survive in physical, in our physical beings, they want us to lose our ideology and our values and our commitment. You know, the Hasidic Sforim say that the gematria, the Jewish number value, which is attached to Jewish words, because the numbers in Jewish language are the letters of the Jewish alphabet. Aleph is one, Beis is two, Gimel is three, etc. Amalek, the gematria, the value of numbers of Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. Ayin Mem is 110. Lamed is 30, is 140. Kuf is another 100, 240. And the word in the Hebrew, Safek, Samach Pei Kuf, which means doubt. Samach is 60. Pei is 80. 140. Kuf another 100. 240. Amalek equals Safek in Gematria. The Amalek attack on the 8 yeshiva boys was more to create doubt in our mind than to kill 8 boys. After all, the country has 5-6 million Jews. 8 doesn't really matter in terms of numbers. But the problem of how one can assimilate in his ideology, in our thinking, in our commitment to the land of Israel, to the Jewish people, and our ancient rights to this land given by Hashem and Torah, and to be able to say, Hashem has put us here, and Hashem wants us to stay here. And Hashem gave us the boys, and for some unknown, mysterious reason, He took them away. We know we have to do tshuva. We have to repent. We have to be strong. We have to do mitzvahs and Torah even more than we did before. We have to be more committed to Eretz Yisrael than before. To support Eretz Yisrael, support the land of Israel, and our Jewish brothers and sisters in that country, even more than ever before, with complete, absolute certainty in the righteousness of our cause. We cannot let Amalek attack us in our machshava. Just like my parents didn't just leave the Holocaust and say, we'll do the Torah, but we don't understand what we're doing. We're not committed. We're just going through an external routine. No, my parents said, we are still committed. We're absolutely sure that a God has chosen us. God has chosen us from all the nations and us, none of us had Torah, and given us the Holy Torah, which is the only and best and the truest way to live in this world. With all the difficulties of what it means to be a Jew, with all the attacks of Amalek, our machshava is stronger than ever. Our emunah is stronger than ever. We know that God Almighty has taken us through many, 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 many situations of an Amalek-type ideological, verbal and physical attack upon us. In the Holocaust, where 6 million were lost, not just 8. Many, many, many more than 8. And our parents said to us and toward us, our children, they tell us, do not waver from that ancient commitment that we made at Har Sinai. We were chosen by Hashem to bring the Torah to us and to the world. Without the Jewish people, there is no world. Without the Torah of the Jewish people, there is no world. We have to be firm in our commitment and not let the Amalek attacks in any way shake us. We have survived many Amalek. Many Amalek. The original Amalek who attacked the Jews in the desert. The Balak and the Bilam attack. And all the Amalek who came later. Up to and including Nazi Germany. Up to and including Stalinist Russia. And we will survive the present attacks of the newest addition to the Amalek list. The terrorists who want to destroy the Jewish people and our presence in Israel and our commitment to Torah. We will defeat them on the machshava level. and an ideology and values and beliefs as much and even more than on the physical level, because their machshava, a belief, is the key to this victory and this fundamental confrontation, this struggle for existence, this existential struggle. Machshava. And in Dibur, we will assert our values and our beliefs. And in Maisa, we will do it. We will continue to be strong on the field of battle. This is the only way to fight Amalek. Cannot fight Amalek just in Maisa. It's not enough to have a strong army with guns and rifles and tanks and who knows what, the helicopters. It's not enough. We could be defeated unless we have equally strong and overpowering machshav and dibur, thinking and speech. It's like Moshe and Aaron were critical players in the fight against Amalek in their time. And my dear friends, Shem Shmuel has a very important and profound point. If Amalek has the koach of machshava, dibur, and maisa, and the Jewish people have the koach, the power of machshava, dibur, and maisa, thought, speech, and action, and we struggle with them in machshava, in dibur, and in maisa, what is the guarantee the Jewish victory? What is the guarantee that the koach, the power of the Jewish and the Torah, machshava, dibur, maisa, will defeat and overwhelm the koach of the machshava, dibur, maisa of Amalek? It's also a heavenly koach. We have a spiritual power. And they have a spiritual power. Our spiritual power is Kedusha, is holiness. And their spiritual power is Tumah, defilement. But what gives us that power of the Kedusha to actually be guaranteed that we will defeat the Koach of Tumah, the Koach of defilement? And he says as follows. Something which he says is a secret of the Zohar, as explained by Reb Chaim Vital, the great student of Ari HaKadosh, the founder of modern Kabbalah and Hasidus. Reb Chaim Vital explains that the koach of machshava, dibur, maisa, which is in the human soul, the three levels of human soul, which are nefesh, ruach, and neshama, the basic soul of action, the nefesh, the emotional soul of speech, the ruach, and the thinking ideological soul, the neshama. These three levels of soul, or maybe three souls within the human being, are within the human being, and they are in his name. For example, he points out that the name Moshe, Mem Shin Hei, is a three-letter name. The Mem represents the neshama of Moshe, the Holy's highest soul of thinking. The Shin represents his ruach, his emotions, and the Hei represents nefesh, his biological self. Moshe had the nefesh, ruach, and neshama of Kedusha, of holiness. However, he points out that Moshe Rabbeinu had another level of spiritual energy, which was the ultimate power of spirituality above the nefesh, ruach, and neshama. We spoke about this in one of our previous shurim, that there's a level called the chaya level. The chaya, which is the fourth level of the human soul, is outside the human body. The human body itself, me and you, we are aware of three levels: biological, nefesh, emotional, ruach, and neshama, thinking and logic. Yes. But we have levels which we don't even realize, which are beyond our physical self. And the next level outside, who is really me and you, my own soul outside me, is called the Chaya. It's called the living soul. And the level of Chaya is a makif. It envelops me. It surrounds me. It walks with me wherever I am, but it's beyond me physically. It connects me with all the spiritual universes which exist. And I close my eyes, and I leave my body, and I reach out to heaven to touch the angelic world and to feel God outside the universe. I'm doing this with the Chaya, with my living soul, which goes outside and envelops me from outside. It's greater than the whole physical universe itself. It's beyond the physical universe. It goes up into heaven. Now the Koach of Chaya, which is beyond the human being's body, and according to Reb Chaim Vital, is beyond the name of the person. Because the name is the Koach within the guf. The Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, which is within. And the Chaya is the nameless part of the soul, which is outside. And is Makif. It surrounds me and pulls me and takes me outside this world. And my dear friends, everybody has a Chaya, especially every Jew. And that Chaya, that amazing power to go outside one's body and outside this world and touch the other worlds of God's creation, the world of angels, and above the world of God's chair. This power of the Chaya was especially developed in the most perfect way with Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as Moshe was the paragon of the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama within the person, he was also the paragon of the Chaya, of the Koach HaMakif outside the person. And Shemesh Shmuel reveals to us a tremendous secret of Chassidus and Kabbalah, that the Koach of Amalek, this power, this antithetical, antagonistic, absolutely evil power in the world which fights God and Israel, is only within this world. It's a Koach of the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama of Tumah, the defiled, degraded, disgusting power of evil in speech, in thought, in speech, in action, is in this world. However, it has no extended power into the worlds above this world. It does not extend into the higher level. And since Moshe Rabbeinu had that ultimate power of Chaya, of Makif, of outside, of surrounding power, a power of beyond the universe, beyond our reality, that Koach of the Chaya, that Koach of the Makif, of the surrounding outside, goodness and spirit and holiness of Kedusha, of Chaya of Kedusha. So we say in our prayers, Chayot HaKodesh, the living angels of Kedusha, which man participates in, is a Koach which Moshe had in its ultimate sense. And therefore when Amalek attacked Israel, Moshe went on the mountain, and Moshe raised his hands, and when he raised his hands, He touched and attached himself to the Koach of his Chaya, of his outside spirit and being and life force, which extended beyond this universe. And he was able to defeat the Amalek Koach, the Amalek power, which was in this and only within this world. God does not allow the Koach of Amalek to go into the heavens. How could he? The heavens are pure and angelic. Cannot be such an evil. A force which denies the existence of God himself could not exist in heaven. But only in this world, which many of our commentaries call Alma de Shikra, a world which tolerates lies, falsehoods. The Koch of Amalek is a falsehood, a sheker. They deny God, it's ridiculous. Every blade of grass, every bird which sings and flies, every step of mine and breath of mine testifies to his ultimate and exalted existence and life-giving force which he gives to every single living and thing which is in this existence, from the lowly stone to the highest stars, with people and everything else in between. It's ridiculous to deny his existence. It's a total falsehood. And to say that God wouldn't want to give a message to his world is also a ridiculous idea. But this world tolerates all kinds of sheker, all kinds of falsehood. That's how God made this world. It's funny. It's something very difficult to understand. But it's a reality. It's an alma de shikra. This world tolerates false ideas. Maybe once we'll discuss it from a Hasidic level, why that was, God did this. But he allowed this terrible koach of sheker to exist in this world, to twist and to blind and to confuse good people who should otherwise really know the truth. That's the koach of Amalek. But Amalek doesn't have a koach in the other spheres. In the spheres beyond this reality, in the other world reality, in the reality of God's throne, the reality of God's angelic worlds, the worlds of the righteous tzaddikim, there cannot be any Amalek over there. It's sheker. Those worlds are pure emes, the truth of God's existence, and only tov and only goodness and nothing sheker, nothing false about them. Therefore, the koach of chaya, which is a koach of the neshama, of the human soul, which goes beyond this world and universe and reality into the different levels of reality up and beyond us, is way stronger than any Amalek power of this world. And Moshe Rabbeinu has that koach, the koach of Chaya. He can defeat the Amalek. This is the special secret of how we have the guarantee we can defeat Amalek. Which means as follows. My dear friends, it means this is the secret weapon. The secret weapon is to go beyond the events of this world and not to be confused by the falsehoods of this world and by the sleight of hand, by the false claims of Amalek, the false ideology, the false words, the false actions. But to realize that we are beyond this world. We are eternal. Just as Hashem has decided that the Jewish people will exist forever. And Amalek will be wiped out, as God says in the Holy Torah, I will destroy them underneath in this world. And by the way, that's a very remes, it's a hint to this idea. Amalek is mitachas Hashemoyim. He is below the heavens. God says, I will destroy him where he is, in this world. He never gets into the Shemayim. Amalek's power never gets into the sky, the heavenly sky, the sky of angels and of God's holy throne. He never gets there. He's mitachas HaShemayim. But even mitachas HaShemayim, he is a terrible problem for us in this world. And God says, one day, Mocha Emcha, I will destroy him. But you have to do the fight in this world. Timcha, you should fight. If we fight, God will help us, and one day he will finish the fight. Mitachas HaShemayim. And the way we fight Amalek is not just with nefesh, ruach, and neshama of kedusha, of holiness in this world. We bring the koach of chaya, the koach of makif, from another world, from a more eternal world, a world of truth, of absolute truth, where politics and compromises and double talk has no place. Absolute truth. This is the koach of the Chaya. This is the absolute koach of Moshe Rabbeinu, who could bring the Torah from heaven into this world. And there is no more chaya, no more living thing than Torah's chayim. It's a living Torah. It's an eternal message. It's a message which goes beyond this world, and beyond my body, and beyond my short lifetime, and even beyond the short life and existence of this planet, beyond the whole universe, and the existence of the universe. It goes into the timeless zone of the Mala Min HaShemayim, above heaven, above the world. That's the Koach of Moshe. It's the Koach of Torah. And the Koach of Torah gives the Jewish people the ability to defeat Amalek. And my dear friends, coming back now to our original question, why did the Torah want two Goalim, Mordechai and Esther, not just Mordechai? And the answer, my dear friends, is that Mordechai, Haman, who's Amalek, had the three levels of power of Tumah, the Koach of Machshava. It says, Vayomer Haman Belibo, Haman thought, plotted. Koach of Dibur, Koach of speech. Vayomer Haman Amalek Achashverosh, she spoke and spoke and tried to convince, and he did convince the king of his evil plans. And of course, the Koach of Maisa, of action. Haman gave the money to pay for the plot. 30 million or so silver coins. And Mordechai had also the Koach. Mordechai is some kind of a spark like Moshe, the Zohar says. He has a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul. And Moshe has the Koach of Machshav of Kedusha. The thought of holiness, Mordechai Yodas Kol HaShanasa, it says Mordechai knew what was going on. And the Koach of Dibur of Kedusha, speech of holiness, Vayizak Zoka Gedol Umara. He went and he prayed. And of course, Maisa, Sakva Efer, he led the Jews in mourning and in betterment of their actions. And my dear friends, this was 3 verses 3. Machshava Dibur Maisa of Kedusha of Mordechai versus the Machshava Dibur Maisa of Haman. But this doesn't guarantee a victory. The guarantee is the Koach of Chaya, the Koach beyond this world, the connection to Hashem Himself, beyond reality. In the most absolute secret way. The Chai is secret. The Chai is something we cannot define it so well. We cannot feel it so well. It requires a special effort to somehow leave this world with the Chai into the other world. And my dear friends, this was the Koach of Esther. The word Esther means hidden. She had that hidden power of the Chaya. There's a woman who was non-worldly. She was beyond this world. She had an angelic quality. She was somehow in the world of angels, somehow connected to God's throne. Chazal say that Esther had amazing levels of spirituality. She was a prophetess. She had Ruach HaKodesh. More than Mordechai. Much more. That's why the book is called Megillas Esther. It's the holy scroll that Esther wrote under the dictates of God's holy inspiration with Ruach HaKodesh. Esther had a connection with other worlds. And that was the guarantee that the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, would survive the plan of Haman. And that was the guarantee that Haman would fail, and that Hashem's agenda would succeed and prevail. My dear friends, that's why we needed two Goalim. Mordechai for the Koach of this world to defeat Amalek, and Esther for the Koach of the other world, higher worlds, to defeat Amalek. My dear friends, unfortunately, because of our sins, the Jewish people is in Golus. The Jewish people is in exile for many, many, many centuries. Now, a little bit, we've come back to Israel, but our return is far from complete or even guaranteed. And we fight Amalek, we have a confrontation with Amalek, unfortunately, every generation. One Amalek, another Amalek, and another Amalek. Maybe the people who left, who survived the Holocaust, thought that that would be the last of all the Amalekim, but it is not. There have been Amaleks, Amalek ideology, and groups who lived that anti-Jewish, anti-Torah, anti-Hashem belief and speech and action until and including today. And who knows? I hope not. But there might be an Amalek in my children's lifetime. My dear friends, to fight Amalek on every level. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Machshava Dibur Maisa, thought, speech, action. But even more than that, the Koach of Chaya, the power of eternity, the power of heaven, the power of Torah. When we are in a confrontation with Amalek, the most powerful weapon we have is the Koach of Torah. To connect to the Almighty, to connect to His throne, and to connect to all the angels in heaven who protect that throne. We should hang on to His throne with the power of Torah. That Torah which is Chaya, Torah's Chaim, is a makif. Surrounds us and brings us out of this world to the other world. And we hang on to the Torah, and Hashem stretches His hand and puts His hand on the Torah. And my hand and His hand touch, and our people, the eternal people of Israel, survives Amalek. Thank you very much, and a very happy Purim.